I think good things are going to happen and it's kind of going to take care of itself. It'd be very easy for me to say, I think after this, I'm not 100% sure, but I should be around 30 something live. It'd be very easy to say, okay, I want to be top 20. You know, I've set goals based on a ranking before. It didn't go well. So I've kind of thrown that out the window. So I'm just kind of enjoying the journey at this point. Wherever my career takes me and I can continue to have the fun that I've been having, I can continue to work as hard as I've been working. Where I end up, I end up. But I think at this point, especially considering the fact that I spent 5 years hovering in that 220 to 150 range and playing so many challengers, it's like, man, at this point, it's just a cherry on top. I'm just enjoying myself. I'm having a great time. Having probably the most fun I've ever had in playing tennis. And I'm just going to continue to try to ride this momentum out. We're going to see where it takes me. So I'm not trying to avoid your question or dance around it, but it's just genuinely my perspective because I've tried that setting goal. Like you said, 2 years ago, I tried to set the goal for here, where I want to be ranked or what I want to do. Didn't really play that well. Didn't work out that well for me. So I'm trying to take a little bit of a different approach.
Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to day 10 at Wimbledon.
Day 10, wow.
Day 10.
Crazy.
Not an easy day for us.
It's been a tough one.
It's been a tough one.
Started off well.
Yeah.
It did start off well with the girl. Shouts out, which we'll get onto later on.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You can tell by the voice and energy.
A bit low voice
because, yeah, we had a tough day. But to be honest, still a proud moment. So we were at court one for the day.
We just camped out on, number one court.
Yeah, court one. It was so busy that we thought we would not be able to watch the match together.
Yeah.
But luckily it, well,
to
we
be
did.
Fair, it did start off that
it
way.
It did start off like
it was
that.
Only one wristband per organisation.
Yeah.
Which was mad, but understandable, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Ladies quarterfinal, it's a big deal.
So the first match was Madison Keys versus Elena Sabalenka.
Third seed.
And, yeah, that match was 100% Key's toughest match.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Obviously, also the highest ranked player that she played against as well.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, and you know, Sabalenka, she won a title this year, slam title this year, you know. Very experienced player, very tough player. It was interesting to actually get both of them playing because they were both big hitters. Both haven't dropped. I think both only dropped like one set as well.
Okay.
Throughout the thing, yeah. Okay. So, like, they've both been playing really well till they played against each other. So, I knew it was going to be a tough one. So, yeah. So,
I did just looked at it as well before we came on. So, their head to head was at 1-1.
Okay.
Before. So, it just shows it's tight.
Yeah, yeah.
The last time they played it was in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a Well, on grass, actually. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, Keys won that in three sets.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, today, different story. Sabalenka, like, she was playing very, very well.
She was hitting really strong. Keys was managing to maintain at times. Like, there were some games where, like, when Sabalenka was hitting strong, like, Keys actually were able to return. And I think even at times, Sabalenka didn't expect her to actually, you know, hit the ball back, but actually she managed. Sabalenka took the first set, but on the last two games, like, Keys did level up a little bit more. Like, it took way longer for Sabalenka to close her match.
Because she took the first set 6-2.
Yeah, she took the first set. And in that first set, Keys' serve wasn't, like, it was probably her lowest out of all of, like, the tournament.
Yeah.
So her serve wasn't as strong during that time. But again, the last two games, she made it a bit tough for Sabalenka to close that match.
Second set, she picked up a bit.
Yeah. Second set, she picked up.
She went a break up.
She did, yeah. And it was a crazy rally. Right before that, like, that rally was probably like they were both hitting so big. Keys had amazing returns throughout, Especially with her backhand. Like, her backhand return during that set was just wow. And then eventually she broke. But then, you know, Sabalenka did whatever she had to do. Like, Keys was like up like 40, like 40-0. But then like some errors were coming through, and then Sabalenka was hitting strong, which allowed her to like break back. And then she held, like Sabalenka held, to then break her again. Like, she was just on different smoke.
Yeah.
She was really on different smoke. And one thing I also noticed is that Sabalenka's serve were actually the best during that match.
Okay.
Like, compared to like her previous matches. I think she leveled up her serve. I feel like most players, when they knew they were playing against Keys, they leveled up their serves, because each time I kept on checking like how they were playing before, their serves were not as great, so they played against her. So that was really interesting. But yeah, but besides, you know, obviously losing that match, I do think that, you know, Keys definitely deserve the props, because people need to remember she was literally ill for a while, then injury, and she didn't play any tournament, like any grass tournament, till Eastbourne. Came to Eastbourne,
won it,
won the title, didn't lose a set till like her match, like her match like 2 days ago, and made it all the way to the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. I think that is super impressive.
Yeah.
And you even said that she looked like in a good mood during press.
Yeah, which is nice to see. Exactly. So yeah, usually when obviously a player's just lost, like, they're not going to want to talk to anyone, or yeah, they won't be in the best of moods. But it was nice seeing her, like, she was smiling, because I was walking up and she was following behind.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she's just chatting away, like smiling and laughing, which I was like, oh, that's good to see. But then that's the thing, when you put things into perspective, like, she's just, well, yeah, she's lost in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. Like, I mean, of course, it's disappointing, but bigger picture, that is a good effort.
100%. Yeah, so, yeah.
It was nice. It was nice to see. And yeah, she was in good form. And I've got here in the notes that she ends the grass court campaign with 9 wins from 10 matches. Like, it's pretty good going.
Pretty good.
Like, so, yeah, and I asked her in press, like, if she's now looking forward, obviously, to the US hard court swing, which we'll play for you here.
I'm always looking forward to the US hard court swing. I think I've had a lot of success there, and it's some of my favorite tournaments, and I really enjoy playing that part of the season. So really looking forward to it. And I mean, I think if I can, you know, just kind of keep up the hard work and continue to do what I did to build coming into this grass court season, I think that there's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, so that was Madison Keys talking about how she's looking forward to the US hard court swing, obviously going back home. And yeah, ahead of the US Open, where she, like she said, she tends to do quite well. So unlucky today for Keys, but I think, like we've said, she's had a good grass court campaign overall, and yeah, hopefully that will stand her in good stead for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
Just on Sabalenka though, because for me this is the first time watching her live.
I think that was my first time as well. Yeah,
like, what did you make of her game?
Listen, like, different.
Yeah.
Different. And I think the closer that she gets to the finals, the crazy, like, she get, like, I won't be surprised if she makes it to the final, to be honest. And she's hungry for it. You know, she missed out, just like Keys, actually, which I
saw your tweet. Yeah,
they both missed out last year. Keys was more of, like, injury. Sabalenka, we know why. We don't need to go into that. But our match is a big hit. One thing I actually forgot to tweet was, I was going to say that more my personal account, to be honest. One thing I forgot to tweet was, like, if I was a player and I played against Sabalenka, her grunts would actually intimidate me. Like, it's so crazy how everyone keeps on talking about Serena intimidating. Yeah. But bro, Sabalenka's actually
I think she did, like, she took that from Serena. Like,
I won't be surprised, because
I think she's even said said something along the lines of, yeah, basically Serena, her game, a lot of her game was like kind of mirrored off of Serena's, basically.
Mm-mm-mm.
Like, yeah, she's one of the biggest hitters on tour. Like, obviously Serena was a big hitter.
That's actually a good point.
So, like,
the
comparisons are there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I agree that the sound she makes, as in,
on TV is different. This is what I'm saying. When you watch tennis on TV and when you watch it live,
you
see the difference, and, like, you see a different perspective of, like, the player. Like, even if you don't really like them like that, like, I love Sabalenka anyways. Like, I've always been a fan of her. When she won that Grand Slam, I was really happy for her because it was, like, long, like, overdue and stuff. Like, she wanted to win this. And she's won so many titles as well, so it was her time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, with everything that she's been going through this year, with being harassed by the press, with the whole, like, you know, whole war thing, yeah, as if she started it, like, you know, I feel like out of all the players, she's gone cooked the most. But obviously, Tamani explained that, explained why to us, like, during our pods, like, couple weeks ago. But yeah, but I'm really looking forward to, either way, I think who's ever left, although unfortunately not the players that we follow on it, the girls that are left, like, it's looking good. Shout out to Ons. She also won today. She got her revenge back.
Exactly.
She got her revenge back.
Rebecca. And yeah. She plays Sabalenka next.
She plays Sabalenka. So that's going to be big babe tennis, match, as they say.
another one, yeah.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Ah, yeah, 100%. I think that's going to be tomorrow.
No days off.
I think that's going to be a busy one because, boy, they even making it seem like it's impossible to catch up on that. So definitely going to watch that on the screen. I'm not even going to bother to go and get to go watch that live. But
might watch it on the hill. Hemming Hill.
Yeah, Hemming Hill. Why not with Pimps? Yeah. Listen, none of the black players are with Pimps in it. Hey,
you can enjoy
let's
now.
Let's go. No, listen.
No, we still got some interest in the girls, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, we still got. So. Yeah. But we listen. Like you said, we have to enjoy it, innit? Might as well. I'm gonna enjoy it. But but shout out to Key. Shout out to Sabalenka. That was a good match.
It was.
But yeah, good luck to Sabalenka tomorrow because. Tomorrow I'm rooting for our North African sis.
Of course.
Still,
of course.
You know,
we'd
love
on.
To see her win this. And then the following match. can you lead this one? Because I don't think I can lead
Stop
this one
it.
Still. Because this one's. Christopher Eubanks.
What an effort.
Christopher Eubanks.
First of all, Wimbledon debut. And then to make the quarterfinals,
which he basically spoke into existence,
like, insane.
For those who don't know, he did on that sit down UTS with Francis Tiafoe and Ben Shelton. They all had a talk, and in one section Eubanks literally said, like, yo, if I make it up to, like, the quarterfinals at Wimbledon, like, I'm not, like, he said, like, I'm just not, like, obviously that's not, like, the end goal, but I'll be more than satisfied with that. Mm-hmm. And
it's a big deal.
He did that, and
very, very
new
nearly.
Ranking, and 340k pounds.
Listen, we ain't watching the money, but, like, the bag's decent.
Listen, hey,
the
brands are calling as well. So, and new fans, a lot more people are going to be knowing about Eubanks as well.
I think for me, that's the biggest thing. Like,
100%.
People getting to know him. And, like, yeah, his game, like, which is massive.
Yeah.
So, very exciting, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's talk about the actual match.
Oh,
so,
mate.
It was against Daniil Medvedev.
Which normally I'm a fan of, but today I wasn't, obviously.
Medvedev took that opening set.
Yeah, he took that opening set. And, but to be honest, I kind of feel like up the third set, it was a thing where Medvedev wasn't really doing anything crazy. Obviously, we all know he has a crazy serve.
Yeah.
But it was really more of, like, Eubanks trying to find, like, his rhythm. So that first set, it was honestly mainly because of, like, errors. And when you look at the numbers, he had, like, a lot of errors.
I put that down to just being nervous, as in for Eubanks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
100%. It's just a nervy start.
100%.
But yeah.
Because he hit more winners than Med. On the first set, second set, like, he... In fact, there's even, like, a crazy stat right now.
It's funny because Uche was saying that, like, yeah, that the numbers seem a bit weird in terms of the stats. Like, they're not really... The math wasn't mathing, basically.
Yeah, that's
like,
what, and remember, how many times have I said it on the pod,
yeah,
like...
And that's no
with
slight.
Tennis... That's why with tennis, most times, the best thing for you to do is go up to a friend and be like, yo, what happened?
What's going
because
on?
Because if you actually sit down and look at the numbers, you'd be confused sometimes. Like, oh. You're like, bro, how is this, like, happening? But in terms of, like, the winners, like, yeah, Christopher Eubanks breaks a 31-year record previously held by Agassi for most winners hit during a single year at Wimbledon.
Crazy.
317.
Yeah, that's nuts. That is insane.
So it just shows to you
Yeah, he was really.
He's that guy.
He was really feeding it, man.
Like, oh yeah, no, he was feeding
and
it.
And it was it's just great because his game is perfect for mm-hmm. Glass. Mm-hmm. Like he's got the big serve. He's good
despite
at the,
him
good
not
at the
liking
net.
It.
Like what?
Now what? In a pass.
Well, exactly. That was the
in
pass.
A pass.
Exactly.
But yeah, like during the second set, like he found his rhythm, slightly fewer errors. He improved a lot more on his serves. In that set, he actually broke Med twice.
Is this in the second or third?
This was the second.
Okay.
Yeah. And on the third, he broke Med literally as soon as like the match like started.
Okay.
And then from there, he was just like leading on.
Yeah, he started to, well, yeah, basically that second set, he took it 6-1.
Yeah, 6-1.
Then, yeah, the third, he took it 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, we actually...
Yeah.
We're really here right now.
Yeah. Like, fourth set as well, he was leading. But then around the fourth set, that's when Med woke up. I think Med was like, aye, okay, hold on.
You need to relax.
Hold on a minute. What's going on here? And that is when Med actually started, you know, then it was a little bit harder for him to break. And then it went to a tie break. And that was the only tie break Eubanks lost.
Dropped all tournament, yeah.
The whole tournament. Because every tie break, he was winning it.
Man.
Every single tie break. But yeah, I think, you know how you said earlier was the nerves? I think that's when the nerves started hitting him as well. I think that's when the nerves started hitting him.
And I think again, to Medvedev's credit, like, he just kind of, you can tell at points of the match, like, he was confused, as in Medvedev, because he was like, what's going on?
See, you could
but
see.
I think that fourth set tiebreak, it was when, like, something clicked and he was like, okay.
That's a good point,
I know, like, what I need to do here. And he just kind of, like,
and he just
kind of locked
it.
In and like was more solid and then I think with Eubanks, I think maybe the moment kind of not, I don't want to say caught up with him, but then maybe for him it was like, shit, like I could potentially be going through to the semi-finals here, like if I just get this one more set.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like mentally I've never been in that position, so I can't speak
to say
this is how he was feeling.
Yeah.
But you only could imagine like how he must have been feeling. Like,
exactly.
But man, I think then, overall, like I'm just immensely proud, man.
Yeah,
like,
no, honestly. Because then even like when he went into the fifth set, I think that's when his nerves even came even more, because that was, there was more double faults, more errors. But do you know what I really, really appreciate about that match is that as much as he knew this was like a very serious moment, he also was making sure that he was having fun.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That you saw him like smiling. Like even during the last set, despite the errors, by the double faults, he was smiling. He was trying to get the crowd like involved. I think he could also be extremely proud of himself.
No,
obviously, 100%. We haven't been to his press yet. His press is going to be in like 15 minutes. And I'm looking forward to seeing if he's going to keep up that same energy. And I hope that he does.
I think he'll be very upbeat.
He like we said earlier, he had his goal and he basically hit that anyways. Like he
now,
mentioned
now
that.
Now he's a last eight club member.
Last eight club member.
For the rest of his life.
The rest of his life.
Like, that's an exclusive like
bougie, like, listen. He good. He clear.
Like, which is nice, man.
Which is nice. But shout out to Eubanks, man. Everyone is so happy for him. Everyone's so proud of him.
I know, obviously, the Goths were there again.
Yeah,
in his box,
the whole
cheering
yeah,
him
they
on,
were there for, like, the whole match.
Which was nice. And he had a nice, like, section as well, like, in terms of his invited guests.
Yeah,
some names that were floating
listen,
around on Twitter.
Listen, the whole crowd was, like, literally,
I
said,
yeah,
like...
The crowd are really backing him, man,
mate,
which is
and
nice to see.
Because the roof was closed, like, you could, like, the noise of
yeah,
that, like,
I
yo,
love
they
that.
Were going crazy, which was...
What do you prefer, the roof being open or closed?
Oof. Do you know what? I used to like it open.
Yeah.
This Wimbledon, I've actually liked it closed.
Yeah, I like it when it's closed.
I don't know. Yeah, I like it closed.
I like the sound.
Like
the
sound.
Ball makes,
yeah.
And the crowd. It just
exactly.
feels more like...
It feels
yeah.
like we're more like in it together rather than like, you know. But yeah, but honestly, shout out to Eubanks, man. I hope that he just takes in this moment, goes home and celebrate, and then, you know, go into the hard court season and kills it again.
He's going to be seeded at a lot of events now as well.
Yeah.
Which means, like, decent draws.
I mean, there's some tournaments already giving him wild cards
he's not going to need wild cards, basically. But yeah,
they're out here in a hurry. Like everyone's mentioning Eubanks left, right,
center.
He's
definitely been the story of main stories of this event.
So. Yeah, on the men's side especially, because needed, but. I'm just happy that we were here to experience that. Our first Wimbledon, and we can out here.
Very appropriate.
Yeah,
Some may say we were like his good luck charm. I'll take it.
No, it was honestly a great time.
But that's like our kind of involvement in the men's and women's done.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but... It's been a good run, man.
I'm glad that we at least had some players a second.
Yeah, man.
Honestly,
and
to like the quarterfinals.
That's a deep run, exactly.
And they made shit happen.
Indeed.
But yeah, so we get to the girls.
Let's get to the girls. So yeah, this is where we actually started this morning. So it was Raina Stoiber, of Great Britain. So she's 18, she's through to the quarterfinals after a nice straight sets win. And that was over Italy's Francesca Pace.
It was a strong hitter. That little girl was hitting. Oof.
But yeah, Stoiber came through 6-3, 6-4. And again, this is the first time I've watched Stoiber properly. Very impressed with her game.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. She's got such a nice, like a calm demeanor.
Because that Italian girl was hitting hard, but she knew how to return them balls. Some of the things that she was hitting, you would have think like Sober would be able to like hit it back, but she actually did her thing.
It was very nice to see. That's nice for Stoiber. So she has Nicola Botankova next. I want to say she's Hungarian. That's Stoiber's next opponent. So that'll be on Thursday. We also saw Claire V. Ngunu, the second seed. I can't believe she's 16 years old. She's also through to the quarterfinals. So she got a good win over Rositsa Dencheva. And that was another like quick one. It was done in under an hour, 55 minutes.
Again, another one. I think yesterday was at 58 minutes.
So she's just like not hanging around.
Yeah,
basically.
Boy. She's like, I got somewhere to be.
Clearly, which is fantastic. So yeah, she's through to the quarterfinals, and this is her second Wimbledon.
Mm.
But I'd say her first like proper Wimbledon.
Yeah, as.
The first one was like in the bubble, which wasn't really like a proper experience. But second seed through to the quarterfinals. And she'll play the seventh seed, Sakaya Ishii of Japan, in the quarters. So, yeah, again, that will be on Thursday, which we look forward to seeing.
Funny enough, it looks like...
Is the schedule out?
The schedule's out.
Don't tell me it's an early start.
It's an early start for both. Both of them are even at the same time.
Oh, man. So they're both playing literally the same. They start
same time.
First on. Interesting.
Interesting.
And we've got things to do in the morning tomorrow.
We might have to push that tomorrow if we can.
I don't know, Lucy, but anyway. But yeah, shouts out to the girls, man, doing their thing in the doubles. And they could potentially meet in the final. I don't want to look too far ahead, but yeah, that could potentially be a final, which would be very... Put Lucy and I in a very awkward spot.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be the Tony Nadal at the French Open with Felix and Rafa. But yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, gosh.
But no, shouts out to Ngunu and Stoiber.
Yeah, for real.
And Lucy, I want to say that wraps up
this evening's
show, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
Day 10. Wow.
Day 10.
But again, very proud, man.
Honestly speaking, man. Shout out to all of the players.
Yeah, 100%.
Shout out to all the black players.
It's been nice.
It's been nice.
And also, I want to say that I feel like they'd see us as well, like in terms of like during matches and like just around the grounds. Like, it's been very special. But we'll talk about that obviously during our like review pod.
Yeah, for real.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, guys, man. As usual, thank you so much for tuning in. And we will catch you on the next one.